I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Tomorrow marks Earth Day, and people all over the world are looking for ways to bring more green practices into their everyday lives. And that got us to thinking about how to go green at birthday parties and other celebrations. Joining us to talk about all this are mother and daughter Lynn Caldwell and Corey Caldwell Lipson. They are the authors of Celebrate Green, creating eco-savvy holidays, celebrations, and traditions for the whole family. Also with us is our regular guest mom, Jolene Ivey. She's co-founder of the Mocha Moms, a parenting support group. Welcome, ladies, moms.
Hey, Michelle. Thanks for having us.
Hi there.
I'll just be honest about this. I was cleaning up from my last kid party, and I am looking at the balloon leftovers, the plastic eggs, and I'm thinking, okay, that was fun, but is there a way to do this that doesn't leave us with two bags of trash? Or just invite, you know, one kid and then be in your kid's friend's memoir, you know, 20 years from now where they talk about how they weren't invited to the, you know, birthday party. So, Corey and Lynn, how did you all get interested in this question?
Well, and this is Corey. And I'm a mom also of two kids, and my kids, like any other kids, enjoy having birthday parties, enjoy going to birthday parties. And what we've found is that you can keep all the fun and all the great memories and have a celebration that your kids can have fun at, the guests can have fun at, and that you don't have to stress over and have to have this big old footprint left on the earth as well.
Oh, well, I want to hear more about that. Jolene, what about you with five boys? You've given many a birthday party in your day and a graduation party and
I've done a
election
count.
Night parties.
I think we did 68 birthday parties so far, if you count them all up. And that doesn't count all the other things that you just mentioned.
I think you wear the crown.
Yeah, I've given a lot of parties. And I think that I've
Has the waste and the trash begun to bother you?
Actually, I'm not that bad about that. Never have been. Part of it is that we've never had much money, especially in the early days of parenting. Our first birthday party, we got a bunch of appliance boxes and taped them together and made a maze. The kids loved it. I think the highlight of the party was when I had the volunteer fire department to come by and let the kids climb all over the truck. And in payment, I gave them a couple of six packs. They were happy. My kids were happy. I think that the fathers of the other kids were the happiest because they loved it. I mean, things like that. We've always been pretty, you know, economically conscious and as a result, environmentally conscious.
Well, get us started, Corey, Lynn. What's the first thing you have to do to get started thinking about giving a green party?
Well, this is Lynn, and the first thing you want to do is to sit down and think about what do we need to have fun? And I think Jolene has come up with a wonderful approach to it, and that's thinking about it from your child's aspect. What is going to be fun for them? And it doesn't have to cost anything. So you might start, for example, in thinking about a theme. And one of the recent themes that Corey had for her little girl was purple, because her daughter loves purple. And all they did was go around the house and collect all kinds of purple things. And they used that for decor. And then they included purple in the food and the games, that sort of thing.
Corey, though, one of the things that's become a custom in a lot of schools these days is to insist that if you have a party, every kid in the class has to be invited, either that or maybe one or two. Now, the easy way to keep things green and keep things simple is to invite fewer kids. But if there is that kind of custom, and you can have 18 or 20 or 25 or 30 kids in your child's class, you can easily see where you'd go to the paper plates and the plastic cups because you don't want to do all that washing up. So what are some ideas for cutting down on the trash?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. A lot of schools are asking the parents to include all the children. And the trash question becomes, you know, question number one in a lot of parents' minds. They don't want to have as much waste, but they also want to be practical. And having 18, 20, 30 kids running around with their maybe breakable china plates might not be a very good option. So there's actually a lot of products that are now made out of 100% recycled materials, such as yogurt cups are now made into plates. plates and forks and drinking cups. There's also compostable plates that are made out of things like sugarcane. And those are really great options if you want, you know, things that have the flexibility and durability of the, you know, regular disposable plates, but don't have the impact on the earth. And another option is to consider asking, you know, the guests to bring their own picnic setting. So their own plate, their own fork, their own cup. And they may want to bring a little story along with it as well.
Joanie?
This is Lynn. I have other additional idea, and that is to take your child on a little shopping adventure to Goodwill or a used store, and for all of maybe $10 or the same amount that you would spend on disposables, you can choose plates and cups and all sorts of things that they might enjoy having, and when you're done with them, they can be returned.
Returned?
Yeah, you can donate them right back.
Oh, you donate them right back.
If you get them from Goodwill.
Not if you get them from retail.
Good point. Jolene, what were you going to say?
Well, you know, I hear you about wanting to keep down the cost and the waste and all of that. And maybe it's a cultural thing, but I cannot imagine telling my guests to bring their own plate. I mean, maybe it's a Black thing, maybe it's a Southern hospitality thing, but that's not something I could do. Now, something I did do some years ago is I went and bought cheap plates, and I got about 100 cheap plates. They're luncheon size, and actually we use them every day, you know, the ones that we keep upstairs and the rest we keep in storage. And actually, to make things easier on me, I do have a large family. We have two dishwashers.
Hold on. So you're going to be running that dishwasher, though.
Well, you're running a dishwasher is not really bad. You know, you're going to have to wash your dishes one way or the other, and dishwashers are not bad on the environment, not any worse than washing them by hand, and sometimes it's worse to wash them by hand. I don't use the heating element to dry. That seems silly to me. But yeah, I use my dishwasher.
Lynn, what about this whole issue of the cost? A lot of people say, look, you know, I'd like to go green, but the upfront investment is just too high. Those light bulbs cost a fortune. A hybrid would be great, but guess what? You know, I'm not doing that. How do you address the question of cost?
Well, really, the basis for going green is the three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle. So if you look at it from that perspective, you can begin to see that it's not expensive, that we sort of have been sold a little bill of goods by the people who market to us, and it's their idea that we buy things. We have to buy in order to be green, when the opposite is really true, that when you reduce, you reuse, and you recycle, you're not spending the money. Just for an example, one of the things that we try to do and we believe is being green is building meaning into what you're doing. So going back to the plates for just a minute, is one of the things that we've done at Thanksgiving is we do ask guests to bring a place setting. And at the dinner table, we say to them, could you tell us about this place setting? What about it is meaningful to you? Why did you choose this particular place setting to bring with you? And, you know, before there were paper plates, this is what people did.
I was fortunate enough to go to a state dinner. Not that I'm name dropping, but and one of the fun things about it, I was seated next to Marilyn Quayle, who is the wife of the vice president. And she encouraged us to lift up our plate and look at what setting it came from. Of course, before the food was served. Let me emphasize that. But we did. We did go around and pick up whatever plate was at our setting and say, this came from such and such a place setting, because she mixed. They would mix it up, and say this came from the Truman setting. And she did have a little story about each setting, which was very fun. I'm so glad I got to tell that story. I've been waiting 15 years to tell it to somebody. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm visiting with our regular parenting contributor, Jolene Ivey, and we are visiting with Lynn Caldwell and Corey Caldwell-Lipson. They are the authors of Celebrate Green, Creating Eco-Savvy Holidays, Celebrations, and Traditions for the Whole Family. I wanted to ask Corey about, give me an idea for a girl birthday party and a boy birthday party, young girl's birthday party, young boy's birthday party that is eco-friendly and won't cost a fortune and is still fun. And I'll start you off with the girls, because the girls in my girls' class are all about, I have boy-girl twins, are all about the princess thing at this stage. Uh-huh. They're all about princesses, which makes me want to throw up. But you know what? That's what we're going with.
Well, since I have two girls who are definitely into the princess everything, I can relate to that, and I can relate to your reaction as well. You know, with the girls, especially if the weather's nice outside, getting outside into a park setting, let's say, and being outside, you can do things like collecting flowers to make a crown of flowers. It doesn't cost anything, and it doesn't create any waste. And this is a really fun and simple activity. Another thing that we've enjoyed doing as an activity is dyeing silks. I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, big, maybe 3x3 or 4x4 things of raw silk, and you can dye them with food such as beets or blueberries, or you can also just take Kool-Aid packets and dye them into beautiful, vibrant spring colors. And you dry them in the trees as the girls are perhaps braiding their crown of flowers, and they can then be worn as capes and skirts and all kinds of things.
Okay, now Jolene gave you a good idea for the boys with the maze. Well, girls would like that too. I think girls would like the maze too, but give me an idea for boys. My son, I'll just tell you right now, likes anything that's a vehicle. Cars, mm-hmm. trucks, trains, sailboats, all of which use fossil fuels, I have noted.
One really fun thing to add into a children's party is to have the kids come in costume. And that just creates an element, you know, again, that people don't necessarily have to, you know, spend much money, but, you know, someone can come as a train conductor and someone else can come as a race car driver. And they can show up and as, you know, Jolene had mentioned, taking the boxes and making them into different cars. You can take your cake or your cupcakes and you can make them together, or you can decorate them. You know, you can make them into wheels or whatever it is that the boys are wanting to do.
Okay.
Again, placing an emphasis on the activities, the doing together, and not so much on the gifts and the decor and all of this.
Jolene?
Well, one thing that we did one year, one of my sons was into the whole outer space thing, and we got the boxes out again, smaller ones this time, and we broke up into teams, and the kids had to decorate the boxes to make an alien. So that was fun. It was a little contest, a little competitive thing with boys. They like that, and they had a great time. One thing for me is that I really hate goodie bags. I am philosophically opposed to goodie bags. I started out thinking that you're supposed to do them, but then at the end of the party, I'd always forget to give them out, and that was a problem. And then I found that, you know, my kids started to expect that when they went to a party, they were supposed to get something. That seemed kind of silly to me. So in the end, no more goodie bags. You know, whatever the fun was that you had at the party, that's it. And mm-hmm. I don't give them out, and I really don't look forward to having other parents give them to my
kids. Did you call some of the other parents in your friend circle to say, you know, I'm doing this just to look for some moral support?
Nah, I just go ahead and go my own way.
Kids will ask you for them.
I know.
What do you
say?
Kids,
I look at them and smile and say, oh, sweetie, I'm sorry. We don't do those. But if we
and then
have,
they trash your house. And
yeah, if we have to, they're on the way out there, remember, Michelle. But one thing, it's like one party we did a dig. I had all of these arrowheads I'd gotten from a museum shop and put them in the sandbox. And you could do it with anything, but that's what we used. That was our theme. And so they had to dig through the sandbox to get the arrowheads. Well, that's your goodie bag. You know, whatever mm-hmm. you found during the party is part of the party. That's your bag. Don't ask me for nothing else.
What about wrapping presents? It just seems like there's something inherently mm-hmm. fun about tearing off the wrapping paper. In fact, I think a lot of us joke that when the kids are little, that tearing off the wrapping paper is kind of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They don't even really care what's in it. Is there mm-hmm. something that you can
yes.
do to make that less wasteful? Corey?
I've got a couple of ideas for you. The first is that most kids have, you know, an entire drawer full of their artwork that is, you know, laying around. And what we do in our house quite frequently is to find a bunch of the pieces, to lay them out, kind of like you would wrapping paper, to tape them together and to wrap the gifts in that. Again, it brings something special to that gift, and the child is extra proud to present their friend with something that's wrapped in their creation. And in our house, all of the artwork is done on the back of, you know, my work paper and, you know, other things that need to be recycled anyway. So it's kind of a double use there.
Jolene says the Sunday comics.
Absolutely.
But yep. Lynn, I have a question for you. What about invitations? Now, I am old school and I love printed invitations. I think that they are lovely keepsakes, and I just, the whole Evite thing, I know a lot of people use them, but I just feel like it's not the same. Lynn, what's your thought on this?
Well, again, there are alternatives for everything, and this is a great question. One of the best alternatives is 100% recycled invitations, and you can find those pretty easily now. And in addition to that, there are tree-free alternatives to paper. So there are invitations that are made out of all kinds of materials that you wouldn't think of, and you can find those on the internet by doing a search. So there are lots of alternatives that are much better than virgin tree paper.
Okay. Well, final thought from each of you about what's the most important thing to keep in mind when you want to have an eco-friendly celebration, Lynn?
Well, for me, it has to be parents' enthusiasm. The parents have got to be on board. They've got to be excited about it and approach it from a positive point of view, and their kids will be on board too.
Corey, what about you? Final thought?
I would have to agree that I think that when we as adults make it fun, no matter what the party theme, that our kids will get on board. And our kids are so savvy about the environment that when we say, you know, we as a family would like to come together and to have a party that makes a little bit less waste and does a little bit of good, and let's come up with 10 ideas of ways that we can do that as a family, you're really going to get the whole family on board. And you may just find that other kids in the class too say, hey, we like what you did. We want to do that as well. So I think that that's a way to keep it spreading.
Lynn Caldwell and Corey Caldwell-Lipson are the authors of Celebrate Green, Creating Eco-Savvy Holiday Celebrations and Traditions for the Whole Family. They joined me from member station KUOW in Seattle. We were also joined by our regular Tell Me More parenting contributor, Jolene Ivey. She joined me in our Washington, D.C. studios. And you can find out more about Green Party ideas at the Tell Me More page at npr.org. Ladies, moms, thank you all so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And remember, at Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. Now we'd like to hear from you. What changes have you made to be more earth-friendly? Have you stocked up on those reusable shopping bags? Are you changing your light bulbs? Or are there any green measures that are still just too much for you to take? To tell us more, please call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that's 202-842-3522. Please remember to leave your name, or you can go to our website, the Tell Me More page at npr.org, and blog it out. And listen in tomorrow for our special Earth Day coverage featuring Interior Secretary Ken Salazar and White House green jobs guru Van Jones. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.